Okay, great. Well, so I got to read through the devotional that you guys gave, and I thought it was fantastic. I loved what you talked about regarding the temple. I thought that was very powerful. And so I want to get to that in a bit. But I also would just like to hear a little bit about yourselves and about how you met.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we both grew up in Salt Lake City and went to the same high school. We went to East High School. I'm actually 2 years older. And so we knew of each other in high school, but kind of ran in different circles. He was good friends with my sister, Becky. And then how we actually connected was following his mission. And I had been home for my mission just about 2 years. We were at a wedding. He was there supporting the groom-to-be of my cousin. So we were in the Salt Lake Temple sealing room, and he was there with all of his friends, and my mom and I were on the opposite side supporting the bride-to-be. And she said, "Tell me who all of these young men are." And so I went one by one down the row. And when I came to him, I thought, wow, he's grown up. And the way I would describe it, when I saw him, my heart light went on. I don't know how else to describe it. It wasn't like you're going to marry him, but it was a connection. And I just felt like I'm going to know him. And just it was sweet and warm. And I just went on and told my mom. But he was the one that kind of stayed with me. So the rest of the day, there was a wedding lunch, and then there was the reception that night. And we would find each other kind of watching the other person. I'd look over to just see him, and he was looking at me, and then he'd look away. And so you know where you know by the end of the night, he notices me, and I notice him. And preparing for the reception that night, I found that I was intentional about what I wanted to wear. And I think I maybe even put on like some lipstick and some mascara. I was kind of like, I hope he's there. And so I got there that night and intending to talk to him. But when I got there, he was with a group of his friends, and many of them had returned from missions and were just connecting with a lot of girls from high school. And I just didn't feel like I wanted to go in and part the waters, and just kind of thought, maybe not this time. But
well, I need to tell my side of it, too.
Of course.
Because everyone knew who Amy Stewart was, because she was always the kindest person, very popular in high school. And because I was a sophomore, we always knew who the seniors were. So when I saw her in the ceiling room in the temple, I thought, there's Amy Stewart. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if she's going to be at the rest of the festivities today. And so I kind of sought her out. In fact, I asked her right out of the temple, hey, can I get a ride to my car? And because my car was kind of parked far away, I was trying to figure out how to get to know her. And then when I saw her at the luncheon and the dinner, I said to my friends, probably not a good idea to tell my friends, but I said, I'm going to ask Amy Stewart on a date. And they laughed at me. And they were like, she won't go out with you, Jeremy. She's Amy Stewart. She's dating these professionals. She's 2 years older than you, you know. And I was kind of depressed that my friends were making fun of me and saying she's not going to go out with you. And I went to work the next day, and we both worked waiting tables while we were in college. I worked at the Roof Restaurant in the Joseph Smith Memorial Building on the 10th floor, and I was getting ready to start my shift, and I was talking to a buddy, and I said, Lars, I really want to ask this girl out on a date, but, you know, she's older, she's beautiful, she's smart, she's spiritual. I don't know if I dare. He said, well, what's her name? And I said, Amy Stewart. And he starts laughing and laughing. And they happened to be first cousins, and they were best friends. So the very next week, we were on our first date together. And then a year later, we were married. So that's how we met. And we love that story, because God has a way of bringing people together in its time and season.
And in the temple sometimes.
And in the temple sometimes. Be in a good holy place, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. What a cool story. It's so fun to hear both sides of it, too.
Thanks.
Wow, how cool. I love those stories. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. And then I also was curious, what inspired your topic for the devotional?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in our devotional, there's a clip of President Nelson in his opening address from the temple foyer, Salt Lake City. And he said this phrase, and I've heard him say it, we've heard him say it many times, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the endowment in mind, the great gift of the endowment. And so as we consider President Nelson's marvelous ministry, over 3 years already, For Sister Yagi and I, the temple has been a focal point. And at church headquarters, I work in the priesthood and family department with youth, young adults, the children. And I get to go work in the missionary department this fall. But everything ties to the temple. Everything ties to the crowning ordinances and covenants. And so for us, who love to be in nature and in the mountains is a symbol of the temple of God. And it's found throughout the scripture. So for us, it felt normal and natural to share our witness of mountains and the temple.
I love that. I would just add to that that with President Henry B. Eyring's recent talk, I Love to See the Temple, at General Conference, when he described what it was like to go to the temple for the first time with his parents and to walk in a little bit ahead of his parents and to be known by name, it just grabbed my heart. And his talk inspired me to go back to the beginning of as early as I could remember and write down every experience I could possibly remember that associated with the temple, just whether it was just looking at it from the city lights or, you know, walking on the grounds to actually, you know, my own endowment and then future sealing and whatnot. And as I pray to have a clear mind, I'm just collecting these treasures that I've never written down like in one place. And so that was really appropriate to me, just this collecting as we prepare to return to the temple with our children and loved ones. It feels like it's on our minds and hearts all the time.
It is a good time. The temples are in a state of transition, moving to phase three, most of them here. And so that was on our minds for sure. Let's preach and teach and testify of the power of the endowment in God's temples for all young adults who are ready and willing and preparing.
Yeah. I was going to say, it is very timely that you guys, you know, chose to talk about the temples, like while we are in that transitionary stage. I think it's so exciting. And I recently was interviewing different people about their thoughts on the temples, like reopening up. And it's so cool to hear how excited they are and just, you know, what it means to so many people. Because it is like, it's very safe, comforting, peaceful place.
Yes.
So I love that you guys, you know, went in that direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, I was curious if there's anything that you guys would say to someone who hasn't been able to go to the temple yet, and now that they're opening, will have more of an opportunity to do those ordinances for their ancestors.
Oh, thank you for that question. Elder Bednar talked about this in a talk at General Conference about, and he mentioned it twice, go to temples.churchofjesuschrist.org. That website has been refreshed over and over again with beautiful videos, descriptions, especially about the endowment and the beautiful ordinances and covenants that we partake of in the temple. I would send everybody to that website who wants to prepare and click on them. Just click in different places and come in the manner of prayer, you know, having prayed, Heavenly Father, lead me, help me to understand before I go, to be well prepared so that when we go, we can just feel at peace and feel the spirit that you just described of a temple is a place of holiness, a place of peace. It's a refuge from the world. And so temples.churchofjesuschrist.org, that is the place to go and prepare. And of course, here on campus and everywhere, there are temple preparation classes facilitated by amazing people in our wards and stakes.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I would add to that just even a search in General Conference in the talks on just the temple. There have been so many beautiful talks that we have just loved re-pouring over on the temple from the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve and other sister leader and general authority 70s that are in our extended notes that have so just inspired us. I would just say one more thing. I was reading in my daughter, she's now 23, her journal. When she was 3 years old, I took her and her 18-month-old sister Emma to the Las Vegas Temple because we lived in Henderson. It was for just a little primary activity focus. And when we got there, there was a gentleman that was dressed in a white suit and he was praying and he had his scriptures. And my daughter, Mackenzie, saw this and she said, "What is he doing? Is he real? Is this man real?" Because to her, I think he looked like an angel. And she was to give a talk that next day on the temple in primary. She was almost four. It would be her first talk. And so she wrote in her talk that part of the way to prepare to go to the temple is to pray and to read your scriptures because of this man who was sitting in the courtyard doing that. And I think that would be another way. We pray, we read our scriptures, and we prepare.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, you guys. Those are such good pieces of advice. And I especially appreciate it because I happen to be a temple prep teacher right now. So
great.
Yeah, so that's
awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for that. That's very helpful. And then I also, going back to the mountains, I'm curious, is there a significant role that mountains have played in your life? Mm,
thank you. Growing up, I could look out my window in Salt Lake City, and I saw a mountain, which was actually not far from where Sister Yagi grew up in the mountains above Salt Lake City. So looking out my window at the mountain was always symbolic in my life of an ascent, of the climb, of overcoming difficulties, challenges, and obstacles. And then, of course, in our youth, we spent a lot of time in the mountains, hiking and climbing, fishing, and it always felt like a place where we could find ourselves and find God. And the temples are symbolic, of course, that search and that worship of finding God and finding ourselves.
I love that. I would just agree with what you've said. And we had a childhood cabin, it's still due in the big Cottonwood Canyons near Brighton, and we would go there often. And I just remember knowing that when we got to the mountains and we'd climb, I would feel an increase of peace and quiet and just hear the sounds of nature and kind of unplug. And the world's only become noisier since my youth, right? And so I think for me, when I go to the mountains and I feel that, I often think of how many times referenced in Scripture the prophets and the Savior, they went to the mount for refuge, to commune with God. And so to me, it just, it calls us, it implores us to go. And so great that the temple is the mountain of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I loved your examples in your devotional as well about just different, you know, moments in the Scriptures where they went to the mountains and amazing things happened. So thank you. And then you also talk quite a bit about trials that you've experienced and that others have as well. And I wanted to know if there's anything that you would say to the students of BYU Idaho who may be going through trials themselves.
I love that question. It makes me emotional because I don't know anyone right now in my life that isn't going through some kind of a trial. Some are more visible than others, but I think even with the pandemic, we have been humbled and taken to new places, difficult, but also we're learning incredible things. I think there is great power in praying one by one. So whether you're praying for yourself, your loved ones, other people, I have a little place where I like to write down the names of people that I pray for on my phone or on a little pad of paper by my side table. There's great power in prayer and including those names in fasting. And I think just reaching out, sending a text to someone, if you pray, how can I send my love to Kelly today? And if I pray for that, a scripture, a song, I will know. And so I think God is as willing to give to us as we are to get on our knees and to pray and listen and then act. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to because we need each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I witness of the power of the Savior and His atonement that comes when we worship in the temple. I witness that He is found everywhere. I said in my devotional, symbols are dotted inside and outside of the temple with the symbols of Jesus. Jesus' love, Jesus' manifestation of sacrifice on our behalf. We all have trials. And I say in my devotional, a patriarchal blessing given to me when I was 16 says this very one interesting one statement, difficulties do come to all people. And, you know, I'm an optimist and happy, but it doesn't diminish the trials that we experience in life. The temple provides additional refuge from the storm. It provides strength and power the Savior can provide. And I witness that in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And then I also wanted to know, so you guys mentioned that, you know, with technology, it can bring a lot of good and it can also become a big distraction. So I wondered, how have you guys been able to find balance with that?
Yeah, I love that question. And we talk about this a lot personally and with our children. We have two teenagers at home right now and two young adult daughters. And I know that for us, If we, with intention, begin the day with Jesus Christ, so we have a picture hanging at the foot of our bed, and it's the Savior standing on a rock, and I just get up and I look at that picture, and I literally just sometimes say out loud or whisper, Jesus Christ, I am all in. Like, I'm here. I know you're there. And I just want to commit to thee. And so when I do that, because sometimes I get distracted, I have to go to the bathroom and I miss that. But if I kneel down first thing after looking at that picture and pray for the gratitude to be alive again and to live a day and just being his, you know, and doing the daily things that we do, it's incredible that I feel way more calibrated. And also with that, I begin my scripture study. Sometimes it's just listening to the verses I'm studying that week, or I'm listening to general conference talk if I'm not able to sit down at that time. But the bookends of the day for us, the beginning and the endings, if they begin and end with Christ, I feel like we have the Spirit to help us discern better. You know what? You're distracted. Hop off that. Or there's a more excellent way to do this. And it just is like a clarifier. It's like the going to the car wash and having the, you know, the bugs washed off your window. That's how that spiritual routine helps me start the day with clarity.
I love that. Well, we are a family that loves entertainment as well. And almost every day in our family text, one of our children is sending a funny TikTok video or, you know, a funny post on Instagram as a distraction and to, you know, bring humor into our lives. So there's a great outlet there. But I'm also reminded of Benjamin Franklin's quote, and then the great Vince Lombardi, a football coach, would often say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so when we're planning with intention, as Sister Yagi described, our days, especially a Christ-centered day, then we will allow that entertainment on the gram or Snapchat or TikTok or whatever the case may be to be an occasional outlet or entertainment venue, but it doesn't dominate our time because there's so much more precious things that we must be engaged in that bring us deep, lasting peace. When we spend too much time, we find ourselves growing anxious, sometimes overcome by the stresses of life and the world. That's because we've misplaced some of our focus. So there's a balance there, a certain balance that we must all find. And I love Sister Yagi's the sandwich approach or the bookends. Begin with the Savior, end with the Savior, and make sure you're planning your day so that you're giving it to him.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add one more thing, Isabel? I think to also listen to the Spirit, because sometimes the Spirit will say, delete the app and don't bring it back. And we've seen that within our family. And that's not going to be the same for everyone. But I think we make that choice with heaven. And if we see that this certain app or being on social media in general is a distracting for a time or for a season or forever, that we find other ways to connect and be okay with that decision made with heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. Those are all such wonderful tips. Thank you. Yeah, and then I also just, I don't know, is there anything else that you guys would want listeners to know or hear? Just any last thoughts from you guys?
I get emotional again because as we have tried to prepare with heaven for our sharing of this devotional, we have felt so much love from Heavenly Father and the Savior for all of you here that will hear this. And I just have had this constant imagery of the Savior with his outstretched arms. Come to the temple, come to me. And I would say to anybody listening to this, he loves you, he knows you, you are worthy in his sight, but return if you need to speak with your bishop, if you need to mend a quarrel, whatever it is to get the Spirit back, nothing is worth fighting for more than the companionship of the Holy Ghost, which will have you going to the temple.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be the second witness to Sister Yagi when he stretches out his arms and says, come unto me. Part of the way we come unto him is to remember. We all have experienced something very poignant in our lives that was deeply spiritual, deeply moving. There are occasions when we will logically cast it aside and say, well, that was my mind, or I was in a different place, or that wasn't real. Well, the scriptures are replete with that phrase, remember, remember. Remember how merciful the Lord has been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even and down until the time that we shall receive these things. Remembering fosters gratitude. Gratitude fosters this drawing closer to one another and to heaven. And so I would just say, come unto him and remember.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isabel. It's been awesome to be with you.
Thank you. You too.